Who remember what the message is on this morning? Okay, remember when we started series? Peter handed out these bulletin. So there's many still left in the back there. So if you don't have one, you still can get one so you can know what the message is about today. The message is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, became a man, being conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He lived the only absolute sinless life as God manifested in the flesh. While a man, he lost nothing of his deity. John 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 John 3:5, and Colossians 2:9. So last week we speak about the God the Father, the first one in the Godhead. This week we're going to speak about God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. And we have the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, coming up in the series too. So what we talked about last week, it was God. In the beginning, we see God. And this week we're going to look too at God in the beginning. And one of the things I was struggling with is, you know, how God was in the beginning and where was the Son. But you go back right there in Genesis 1:1, and the Son was right there with the Father. This morning we're going to just take a look at what the Son has done for us, why he came, and what he's doing for us. We're going to see him in our Lord, the Trinity. We're going to see him in what he has done for us. And let's turn our Bibles then to John chapter 1 and see what is there for us. One of the hymns we sang this morning, it said, on the cross, alone, forsaken, where no pitying eye was found, now to God's right hand exalted, with the praise the heavens resound. And this here we are speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, what he has done for us. I don't know if we really sang that this morning, I'm not sure, but sometime we sing that at the first meeting. And so looking at 1 John, the first verse said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see what it said? He. Who's that he we are speaking about? He was in the beginning with God. We'll come back to it. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Right up in the beginning, here we have in the beginning was the Word. And so the Word, we see, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. You know, sometimes we think, and our mind is so earthly or human, that the things of God, as I said, I think I said this last week, the heavenly things, sometimes we can't grasp it. And so sometimes we have to read it and reread it again so that we can get it. And so we see God, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God. He was God. He was right there with the Father, right there in the creation process. And not only that, he was the Word. and the Word was made flesh. We'll come back to that later too, and dwell among us. So the three persons of the Godhead, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three persons are one person. Can we get that? Sometimes it boggles the mind, but that's what the scripture said. And we as children of God, we don't doubt that, because that's what it says. Maybe you can look around it and think of what it says. But here is it, the pre-existent of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, right here in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. We see like a couple of things there. The first one is, in the beginning, we see our Lord in eternity of his being. He was right there with the Father. So his being was right there. He was God. And then two, the Word was with God. The Word was with God. We see his distinct personality. Yes? These are some of the things right here in the first verse here we see. The Word was God. That's number three. And right there, we see his deity. His deity. Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was God. We see his deity. And then the same was in the beginning. His unchanging relationship with the Father. The Father and the Son. They were together before creation, in the beginning, before the beginning. They were ever in the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were together. And we see him. All things were made by him. And we see his full creation glory there. His full creation glory. All things were made by him. And then, in him was life. In him was life. And we saw there is life-giving power. Yeah, the Son of God. This is his pre-existent. He was there with the Father. They created the earth. And they were before creation. And then the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and tabernacle among us. We see his incarnation there. Now, if I come to you and said, you believe this? If there was no word here in the Bible about it, would you believe it? That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one? Maybe not. But because we have passages in the scripture that we can always go back to and look. You know, you don't have to believe what I said. It's scripture is here. You know, you say something, but sometimes you have to back it up. And this is what we have here in the scripture. That in the beginning, God created. Not only that, in the beginning, God the Son was with the Father. And he was in creation. The Holy Spirit was there with them in creation. We saw last week in verse 2, the Holy Spirit hovering over the earth. Yeah, so these three was right there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they created this earth. They are one. They are one, dear ones. What did the Lord do for us? We see the Father sending him into the world to be our Savior. One of the things he came to be is to put away sin. He came to bear sin in his own body on the tree. He came to be our sin bearer. He came in the world to bring man closer to God. He came to make salvation free to each one of us who are still thinking about these things. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came so that we can always go to God and said, Lord, I'm a sinful sinner. Save me. Yeah. All this are wrapped up in all these things. God the Father sent God the Son. And He came and tabernacled among us. He, although He was God, He came in human form. So when we think this morning, dear ones, of what the Son of God did for us, or what He's still doing for us and what He's yet to do for us, we think of the Father first. Because without the Father, there would be not a Son. And we see the Son this morning as He came down. We know the Father through the Son. He came down to bring us new life. New life in Christ. Abundant and free. That's one of the hymns we sing sometimes. But going further, we'll see that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't just come to show in human form. He came to do a work. He came to prepare the way. He came to give His life a ransom for us. He came to bring mankind again closer to God. He came so that the sin question could settle once and for all. Yeah. These are some of the things that He came to do. And, you know, sometimes we think about what the Lord Jesus Christ done. I was in the breaking of bread this morning, and one of the hymns we sing, again, it's a thousand thanksgiving. And when I hear that, and I was thinking, and I say, you know, even if we sing that, or we bring a thousand and thousand thanksgiving to God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, it still wouldn't be enough to please Him. Can you imagine? Me, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave His life for me. Who would give their life for me? Maybe I would give my life for my son. Maybe, because I'm old and he's young. Yeah? We can look at it that way. But who would give their life for me? I don't think so. If we are honest. Yeah, but here this one, he looked right across the human spectrum. And here we see salvation is brought right down to the lowest of lowest. And God in His person sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on Him should have everlasting life. Yes, dear ones, all those thoughts, you know, there is so much thoughts running into your mind in the breaking of bread because it's so vast. And when you think of what the Lord has done for us, we can't imagine, dear ones. We can't imagine. No, we can't. Yes, so that is some of the things that He did. But right here we see that God the Son came to do a work for us through the Father. The Father sent Him and He came to do that work. We look at His incarnation. John, right here, we're going to be in John for a little while because, you know, John is the gospel that we are the Lord Jesus Christ. All He started His ministry and all the works that He ever did starts right here. So in John 1 and verse 14, let's drop down to that. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeah, this is the Word. The Word. Can you imagine? The Word became flesh. And how did that happen? Let's read again in Luke. Luke. Luke chapter 1. Maybe, you know, we just want to fill these gaps so that you have an idea where to look. The Word became flesh, and we go back to Mary right there. Luke 1 and reading from verse 26, and it said, now in the 6th month sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and to his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be so to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Yes, so here is the word, became flesh. There was this chosen one, Mary, by birth, a virgin. Here is another miracle. This young lady, she was exposed to be married. But here was God in his glory, in his might, in his power. He overshadowed her. And the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her. And that's how the God the Son, came into this world. Mary was exposed, and she bring forth her first child. And there, the word, the flesh. And the flesh, the word became flesh and dwell among us. That's it, dear ones. We don't have to go far to look up these things. It's right here in the Bible. God of glory said he would do it. And here he sent this one in to be the creator. He was the creator. And now it is incarnation. That's something further than I can imagine. Again, the miracle of God. God in his person. God in his son sent forth this one through a virgin. A virgin that was, they didn't know that this was going to happen to her. But God was overpowering him. He saw her and he knew she was pure. And then God did that job. Yes, we can think of these things, dear one, and come to a conclusion by yourself. You know, it's right there. It's in the book. And we read it. And we meditate on it. And we know it's true. So we see God in his existence in John 1 through 5. And then we see now his incarnation here. Paul said that Christ, who was in the form of God, took upon himself the likeness of men. Philippians 2:6-7. And God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, Hebrews 1:3. All these, not only one place, it's all in the Bible, different places. Why God sent his son into the world. We could not help ourselves. We were condemned to death. We had no hope. We were heading for a lost eternity. We had no security. And God saw that. God saw that. And he sent his son. And his son was willing to come and do the work. We're going to look further at his humanity. His birth. We saw his birth, and then we see now his humanity for what he has done for it. And his humanity is right there in Luke, the same chapter, chapter 1, and reading from verse 31 through 35. But we just read it already. Why God picked someone from the herd, you know, to do this in, is that the people, the world could see. It wasn't something foreign. It was something we could see, we could handle, we could touch. We know it, like your brother, your sister. He had a father, he had a mother. He was in a home with his siblings. He grew up to be a man, or he grew up from a child to a young man, and then to an adult. Yeah. We see these things happening here. In his humanity, Christ was purpose. He had purpose. Before the foundation of the world, he was recorded as coming in Revelation 13:8. His life on earth revealed his humanity. He had a human home. He was the son of Mary and Joseph. He was from the lineage of David. Jesus, he also have a name. His name was Jesus. He also had a human body. His body was just like ours. A human body. He had also a soul. He had a spirit. 1 John 4:2-9. Matthew 26:28. And then one of the things he did is death, his burial and his resurrection, and then his ascension to heaven. And in his humanity, he has this glorified body when he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. Maybe we should just look why he came. We read this verse this morning. Same place in John. We're going to go back to John. John chapter 1. And reading from verse, just reading one verse here. We read this verse this morning. Reading verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And this is why he came. The Lamb of God. Why did that word use there this morning? If you go back in the Old Testament and see the amount of animals that was slaughtered for sin bearing. But here was this Lamb, the Lamb of God, the precious Lamb. This is a human. And this happened all that time in the Old Testament. Every time you sin, you have to bring an offering. You have to make a sacrifice. But here is this one who came as the Lamb of God. And he did this one time. One sacrifice forever. He put away sin forever. Not only that, it wasn't an animal. This was a human being. You know, dear ones, that's the difference. The Old Testament have animals. The New Testament, we have God, the Son of God. He was God. And we go back, I think we talked about this at the breakfast table yesterday. God was satisfied with the sacrifice. Why? Because he raised him triumphantly from the grave and set him at the Father's right hand. And there he's making intercession for us. Someone was saying at the breakfast table yesterday, "Do you think God laugh, ever laugh?" What was the answer, Joe? Or you don't want to say? Okay. I don't want to pick on you. But you think, remember, in the scripture we see God crying. Right? So he was human. He must laugh. Yeah. You with me, Mike? Oh. Yeah, you think the God of glory cried when he went to Lazarus' grave. When the sisters were saying, Lord, if you were here, he wouldn't die. And Jesus wept. He cried. So remember, he was having dinner around the dinner table with these ladies sometime. And their brother. Right? Yeah. Human spirit. Yeah. So that's one of the things we look at this morning. Here was one who was a human being. God sent him. And this one time he made that sacrifice forever, covered mankind's sin. It was done. It was complete. We don't have to do nothing. We have this hope in us that once you accept this Jesus as your Savior, Lord and Savior, you're freed. You're on your way to eternity. You're on your way to have everlasting life because he sent this one who was a human being, one who knew our thoughts, one who knew our crying, one who knew our laughing, and one who is living forever. He sits at the right hand of God, the Majesty, there making intercession for us, dear ones, this morning. Can we believe that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's a day coming back, dear ones, when this same Jesus who we see rise and take up, will be coming back again to take us forever. Last week we read it. No more crying, no more tears. Our God himself shall wipe away the tears from our eyes. Yeah. But that is his humanity. We've got to read another. First John. And we just want to read this to bring it up to par. Maybe I shouldn't read this. I should read the other one before. But 1 John chapter 1. We're right there. And here it is. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and heard and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you that your joy may be filled. Yeah. So here we are coming into the picture here now. You see, we have seen it. Well, this is the apostles. They saw this. John himself was right there. This is written by John, the apostle, who was he loved the Lord. And he was right there on the Lord, resting on his breast. Yeah. And so he was telling us these things. We who are believers, we who have been born again, we who are saved, we can get into this fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. He's bringing us closer this day, dear ones. We got to realize this. We got to remember this, that this year is where our fellowship start. Because we believe, because we understand that Jesus Christ died for us. He paid the penalty for us. That one day he's coming back and he will take us up forever to be with him. We want to read one more scripture before the time run out. And I think we did read this morning again, is Luke. Yeah. how he died. We're just going to read a little about the death there. Even when this one was dying, he was giving people hope, you know? And when I was doing this study, I couldn't help to get over it. You know, when we are in situation that we can't even come out of, there is one who we can always turn to. But here he was, the God of glory. Chapter 23. Sorry. And reading from verse 43. And he said, and Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And I just want to read the death of the Lord Jesus, because that's what he came to do. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw that what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Yeah, this is it, dear one. The God of glory sent his son to love you and me and all the world who would ever come to him. He came as the Son of God. The God gave him a work to do. He went to the cross. As a matter of fact, before he went to the cross, he even said, Father, if it is willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, you command me to do this. Yeah. Can we believe that? Yeah. He was on the cross, alone, forsaken, where no pity in high was found, no to God's right hand exalted, and with the praise. Praise you, God. Thank you, God, for saving me. The heavens, the earth resound. There is some who think that there is no God still, and there is some who would scoff at the gospel. But dear one, if you read this every day, it will enlighten you. You will see the will of God for each one of us. We who were far away from God, you know, we who had no hope. Go back to Ephesians and you'll see where we were. This God, through the Son, make us closer. Make us a relative. Make us a friend. Make us a born-again believer. You believe that? Yes, I do. And whatever you do, wherever you go, there is always a believer to hold out a hand and say, keep on going, brother. The Lord bless you. If you're here this morning and you still haven't realized that blessing or come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the grace of God is still available thereon. Grace of God is still available. And one day, he's going to come back and take us home forever to be with him. And before he comes, we want to know that each one of us here this morning are included in that number. So may God continue to speak to us through his word, not my word, through his word, and enabling us to go forward and spread the good news of salvation. It's not only for me, or for you, or for you, or for you. It's for the whole world. John 3:16. That's what he sent his son to do. He gave his son, and the son accomplished the work. So, dear ones, we are thankful this morning that God the Father sent the Son, God the Son, and he is God. These three, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three in one. Maybe we don't know it work, but that's what the scripture says. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we believe it, dear ones. That's why we talk about it. Father, we thank you again for your word this morning. Help us, Father, to continue to study your word, to know it, to defend it at all times, and to give an account of it all the time. Father, we would think of those who are going through deep waters, those who are suffering, those who are lonely. We pray, oh God, that you might just come beside them and help them. And just continue to touch them and bring them closer to thee. Father, if there is one here not knowing thee, just continue to speak to their hearts and cause that, Father, they too might come to know thee as Savior. We bless you, we love you, we give you thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.